Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Michelle Erfer,
Kimberly Senna-Moore,
and Rachel Rambach.
We are three board-certified music therapists who are passionate about our work and we feel we have something to say. Join us each month as we share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy and working as a music therapist. Thank you for joining us.
So I'm feeling like, you know, I'm the only one in this group right now who doesn't have anything really new and exciting and big to share. So I don't know who wants to start, Rachel or Michelle, because both of you have something pretty cool going on.
Me!
Yeah, I think yours trumps mine, Michelle, so you go ahead.
I'm super excited because I'm pregnant.
Yay!
I wish we could have, like, I don't know, those little New Year's Eve.
I know.
We need to edit applause in or something.
Seriously.
No, Michelle, that is awesome. And how? Tell our listeners, how far along are you?
I'm at 5 months. If you are a friend of mine on Facebook, I just put the first baby bump picture on there.
And I've seen it. It's really, you got a very cute baby bump.
Yes, you do.
I'm in the maternity clothes. Not in that picture, but, you know, when I'm in public. So it's been really cool, you know. I'm just enjoying being pregnant. This is my first baby. As you know, I work in a hospital, and it's really interesting to be a music therapist who's pregnant, because all my coworkers, this is gonna sound horrible, but they're nice people to begin with, but they're like way nicer. Like, they also carry things, and like I definitely am always the first person on the elevator. Like, I'm treated differently, and I'm okay with that. And it's really interesting when I interact with my clients, my patients at the hospital, because they, especially if they're mothers, they just want to talk about being pregnant. And I think that that's helpful in their, you know, in their mental health while they're in the hospital, because it's just a way, something for them to think about while they're dealing with their own health, because they often reminisce to their own pregnancy, and everyone's happy about being pregnant so far that I've met. So it's just been a really interesting learning process for me. It's great.
Very exciting. We're so excited for you. Awesome.
Thanks. And my husband is excited too. Oh, and it's a boy. We know it's a boy.
Baby boy Erfert.
So it's a little Ed William Erfert V. That's his name.
Well, that was easy. You didn't have to come up with any names.
No, I don't have a problem sticking with the Edward tradition.
Very nice. Very nice.
Michelle, just congratulations. I am beyond excited and happy for you and Ed. I think that's awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Me too.
And you're not the only one. I mean, I know, you know, baby kind of trumps all, so sorry, Rachel. You have some exciting news too.
I do. Yes. Well, it's nothing as exciting as having a baby, but I did just take my first trip to Europe a couple weeks ago, and I am still just kind of reeling from that whole experience. I knew that it would be an amazing vacation, but I really didn't know how amazing it would be. And I have to give my husband, Zach, all the credit, because he planned the entire trip, all of our hotels, all of our restaurant reservations, every site that we saw was completely planned. And it was just an amazing 2 weeks. I just had the time of my life. And every once in a while now, we look at each other and we're like, oh, I wish we were in Europe still. It was just, it was amazing. We went to Rome, Florence, Venice, and Barcelona. And pretty much saw everything there was to see in each one of those cities. So as you can imagine, it was exhausting.
So if, and this may be the impossible question to ask, it's kind of like asking a musician what your favorite song is, but you know, you said that this just really affected you. Is there one way that it did, or kind of one thing you can, you know, share that how this impacted?
My goodness. It was, I mean, just everything about it. I wrote a blog post over at my personal blog, rachelrambach.com. And I kind of gave a highlight of each city and, you know, why each one was just amazing and unique and fascinating. But like you said, it's impossible to choose a favorite. But if I had to try, I would probably say Rome, just because I spent my whole high school career taking Latin and learning all of the ancient Roman history. So actually being there and seeing the Colosseum, seeing the Roman Forum, and actually living that history and being right in the middle of it was just kind of mind-blowing. So that was a definite highlight. But also, I'd have to say that ending our vacation in Barcelona and going to the beach every day and just being in a really vibrant, exciting city was amazing too. So the whole trip was just really, really fun, and I got to see so much beautiful artwork and architecture. And my husband took about 7 zillion pictures, which I posted on Facebook. So if you're a Facebook friend of mine, I've already apologized for my endless posting about the trip, but we just had a blast and we're already planning another vacation.
Another European vacation?
No.
Okay.
Not not for a while, not for a while. But we are going to go to Hawaii in December, so we're looking forward to that.
And a good time of year to go, especially when you live in Illinois.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And welcome back. I'm glad you had a good trip.
Thank
And I
you.
think we should just, this may be a rather sudden switch, but we have a guest for this podcast that I'm super excited about. So maybe we should move on over to the feature segment.
So today we'd like to welcome special guest Nakisha Loy Smith. And Ms. Smith is a community development specialist for the Community Redevelopment Agency of Martin County, Florida. Now, the title of a community development specialist is very unsuspecting sounding, but the truth is that this position is instrumental in bringing about positive change and growth in the lives of the citizens of our county. And community development specialists communicate regularly between average citizens and the Board of County Commissioners. They carry out project development projects from the proposal to the approval to the construction building to the completion of the project, and they're managing these projects every step of the way. Now, Nakisha is also responsible for securing grant funding for these multi-million dollar construction and redevelopment projects. And all these projects enhance the local community here in Martin County, Florida, which happens to be my local community. So today we're going to be talking with her about applying and securing grant funding. And Nakisha, thank you so much for being here and welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
So Nakisha, I know that you actually didn't go to school to study grant writing. So I wondered if you could fill us in on your background, your educational background, so that our music therapy listeners get to know you.
Sure, Michelle. My background is I did my undergraduate studies in sociology, and for my master's, I got a master's degree in city planning. So for the last 5 years, I've been working with various government agencies throughout the U.S. And as you said, most of our programs are focused on community development projects, and that can be anything from infrastructure projects to helping to do community improvements through code enforcement activities. And it sounds very different, but actually at the end of the day, in this economy, a lot of us are struggling to meet the financing gaps for our various programs. So whether you're a music therapist or a community development specialist like myself, grant writing is something that we definitely can all use no matter what our background is.
Right. And even though you don't have that official, I guess you could say, grant writing project, you really know what you're doing because you got a recent honor. Will you tell us about the commercial revitalization grant that you just applied for?
Sure, Michelle. One of the grants that we have here in the state of Florida is through the Florida Department of Economic Opportunity. And so we recently got approval for a grant that I wrote, and it's for a project that's over $1 million. And we were successful in receiving that grant from the state. And there were some of the things that we set up in our application that the state agency was really, really impressed with, and that really set us apart from a lot of the other grants that were submitted. And some of those things that we put in our application has actually become standard practice now When people submit their grants, they've now changed the forms and the requirements for
so,
that.
So they saw your application and it changed it because changed. They saw your application that you filled out, and so they're changing their form because they like what you put in there.
Exactly.
And it's a statewide $1 million grant.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow.
Nikisha, that's awesome, first of all. And you said you put things in there to make it special. What, I don't know if this is something that is specific to city planning, or is there kind of a you know, general rule to consider, or something to consider when trying to make an application stand out?
Well, the funny thing about this grant, and one of the reasons why I got it, was because it was the first day on the job for me.
Oh my gosh.
It's a really funny story. It was my first day on the job, and my boss comes to me and he throws this, project in front of me and says, "Hey, we want to do this project. Can you go ahead and write this grant?" Now, granted, I've done a lot of writing in my life. You know, I have a master's degree, so I've had to do a thesis, and, you know, there's research skills. So, I'm thinking, hey, I'm still on a probationary period here. So, you know, I better make sure that I do this really well. But I'd never really actually written a grant before, even though in my educational training, we did kind of, you know, cover some of those points. But the great thing was that since I'd never actually done that application before, I went through with a fine tooth comb and really went through every detail of the instructions and the requirements. And actually, I think not really being familiar with the process is what worked in my favor.
Really?
Yes, yes. And a funny story is, I know of another applicant who had actually applied for the same grant, and they went ahead and did their application, but they just assumed that it was the same as they had done all the previous years, and they had actually done some changes to the instructions the year that I applied. And because I was reading it very thoroughly because I wanted to make sure that I did it right, we were successful in getting that grant, where some other people lost points because, you know, they didn't go through and really read the instructions with a fine tooth comb. So definitely I would say, you know, one of the things that we can all use is that when you see these notices, that you really need to go through, take a highlighter, mark it up, and really make sure that you understand exactly what they are asking for. And in turn, you can kind of use that as your outline for how you want to respond and make sure that you cover all the points that they're asking for, and also any attachments or anything additional that they might want you to submit.
So basically you'd be just be detail oriented.
Exactly. Exactly. You want to be detail oriented in terms of responding to what they're requiring. But in terms of when you actually, you know, write your story, you don't want to go into too much detail because you have to understand that they have to read a lot of applications. So in terms of when you actually write your objectives or your missions or your background, you want to make sure that you're short, you're sweet, you're to the point. And that you throw things in there that are going to make you stand out from the rest of the crowd and the hundreds of other people that might be applying for the same grant. But yes, in terms of reading the instructions and making sure that you have a response that suits everything that they're asking for, in that aspect, you do need to be more detail-oriented.
Now, I don't have a lot of experience filling out applying for grants, but just now, 2 minutes ago, before you started speaking, I was thinking, yeah, well, I got this application. I would try to tell them about music therapy and tell them how this is so great and tell them about me, and clients and that sort of thing. But it sounds like what you're saying is tell them what they're telling you to tell them.
Exactly. You need to not go off on a tangent. I'm sure your work is great, but you need to tell them.
Of course it is.
But you need to tell them what they want to hear.
Okay.
We all have a story, and sometimes that's the drawback when we're doing these grants, is that we, kind of go off. We're trying to say everything that we can in this one grant application. But really, like I said, they have to read hundreds of these. So you want to give them your elevator speech,
Okay.
You want your first, two paragraphs or whatever to just really hit home, and to really just provide kind of that executive summary of what it is your objectives are, what are the gaps that you're trying to fill, and how their funding is really going to change the lives of the people that, okay. that you're working with. So just be careful, again, that, you know, even like when you're doing a resume and mm-hmm. you try to, you don't want to submit the same resume to every employer. You want to try and tailor those. You might pull some of the keywords that they pull out in the job description. So that's really kind of the mindset that you need to have when you're applying for these grants, is that you want to tailor each grant to those keywords or those targeted areas that grantor is asking you for.
I love how you mentioned the elevator speech mm-hmm. because actually we've had past podcasts both here on the Music Therapy Roundtable, and I think we've even both all blogged about the elevator speech. And yes. how mm-hmm. even in our just daily lives of yep. communicating music therapy to people, it's the elevator speech. So I'm tickled that someone from a different field even mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, when you're writing the grant, for a moment there, you're going to have to take off your music therapy hat and mm-hmm. you're going to have to put on your salesman hat, because okay. that's really what you are. You're really trying to sell them your program so that they can be, you know, motivated to contribute and be a part of that project.
And I think that's a key thing, especially for music therapists, because we almost have to do that on a daily basis. We have to kind of sell music therapy because it's not something that everybody knows about. So we're already kind of doing that in our daily life. So I think that's something that gives us an advantage when we go to apply for a grant.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And there's also, I do think that gives us an advantage because we're already thinking about that. Mm-hmm. But there's also a difference between saying it and kind of, you know, saying it to clients and to parents and to other professionals, and saying it and writing it down in a way that speaks to people who are giving out money.
True.
Yeah, Rachel, that's another good point that you brought up. You know, these grants, they're not technical reports. So that's something that's important to remember. You want to stay away from a lot of jargon.
Sure.
You know, if you use acronyms, you want to make sure that you explain those. You know, these grants should be something that anybody should be able to pick up and read and understand very quickly exactly what your project is or your program and what it is that you're trying to do. You know, one of the good tests that I try to do sometimes when I write grants is I'll have my mom read it, or I'll have a family member read it that has nothing mm-hmm. to do with planning, you know, and are not familiar with that subject. And you know what? If they can't understand what I'm trying to say, I know that I need to go back to the drawing board and maybe make a few tweaks. So you never know who your review committee person is. You know, they might not even be a music therapist, so you can't assume that the person that you're submitting to is familiar and knows all the jargon and knows all the keywords. So, like you said, it's really important that you communicate that in everyday language when you're writing your grants, that anybody can understand.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I like that suggestion.
Yeah, I like the idea of having other people mm-hmm. read it, you know, show it to your parents, show it to a significant other, a colleague, something like that. Awesome. So where do you have any suggestions for where you can go to find grants? I think that's a challenge.
Sure. Yes. You know, there's four levels of grants. So the first level would be the federal level. That's the national level. So that's where you're competing with people from all over the states. Now, these grants, they tend to be more competitive, but the cash tends to be a lot more. So there's a federal website called grants.gov, which is a good place to start if you just want to kind of browse some of the federal grants. You do have to register, but it is free, and they do go ahead and give you an ID number, and you can get on their email list so that you're notified of whenever any new grants might come up. So that's at the federal level. From there, you go down and you have your state level. So for us here in Florida, you know, we'd want to go to the state website and look at the different agencies and research whatever grants they may have available. And for us here, those grants come out of Tallahassee. So depending on what you're in, it'll probably come out of your capital city. So that would be the state level grants. And then we have the local level, so that might be county grants that may be available. And from there down, we have private grants or foundation grants. So just doing a search and maybe looking at the register of local foundations. Mm-hmm. There's also national foundations. But really, the internet is just amazing because you have so much at your fingertips right now. So for your field, I would definitely, you know, recommend doing searches such as Music Therapy Trust. You might want to do a search for music therapy grants, music therapy foundations. And a popular acronym in the grant term is called a NOFA, which is a Notice of Funding Availability. So you might want to do a search for music therapy notices of funding availability. So that's a place where you can start. And if you're a therapist that is maybe a little bit more specialized, say that you deal with, you know, cancer patients, you might want to look at that specialization area and do a search for maybe cancer foundations or things of that nature. So that's kind of a good start. And like I said, the internet's a great resource. And usually once you start to get going, you find links from this grant to the other grant. So it's just a matter of getting started and seeing what's out there.
That's all. And I'm so glad that you brought up, you know, like if you work in a niche, which most of us do, because you're, you know, talking about searching for music therapy NOFA, music therapy funding, and I'm thinking, you know, I bet there's not a whole lot. There may be a couple of things out there that's for music therapy, but I bet we'd find more if we do it from a need area or from a client population area.
Exactly.
And truthfully, Nikisha, before you mentioned even just the four tiers of grant finding or grant location.
Yeah.
I just thought of, oh, I need a grant, so I'll go to our professional website, American Music Therapy Association, exactly. Which they have grants, and they're great, but there's only like five of them, and I probably would only qualify for one or two.
Yeah.
So you just opened the door for me.
Great.
I know. I'm so excited. It's like, even when you start
hearing angels singing and music in the background.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Even when you just started saying there are four levels, I'm going, it's never been explained to me like that.
I'm looking at MTA. I didn't know. Oh, I wanted to throw something in about grant writing, because I did have one experience with grant writing back when I had just moved to the area and was jobless. We have a local hospice, which I love, called Treasure Coast Hospice. And I wanted to, you know, get my foot in the door and work for them. And I noticed that there was a local level grant.
Great.
And I don't know how to fill these out, but I also know that this is a nonprofit agency that I want to side with, and that they have grant writers on staff, because most do. So I got a meeting with one of their folks, just not the grant people, but just their a director, telling them about music therapy. And I had said in my spiel, I see that this grant is available and this could, you know, help kickstart some music therapy services for you. So if you can help me fill it out, I'm there and I'll keep looking for grants. And they immediately connected me with their grant writer and they filled out the grant.
That's great.
So I only had to do the music therapy paragraph. Yeah. I didn't have to do the extra stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because, Michelle, I've had a similar experience in that I've been involved in grant writing before, and some of it has been successful and some hasn't. But now that I think about it, the ones that have been successful are the ones where there are multiple people working on the grant, and we're all working together to kind of create a best, you know, best product, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been in that situation too.
Now, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, Nikisha, you've been sharing a lot of fantastic tips, and I know that I'm sitting beside you, and literally, and you have a list of more, and we're going to share them over at our companion website, Music Therapy Pro, for our pro members. But I wanted to ask you, as you are going to fill out the grant application, you know, what is that fundamental thought that we all need to have in our mind? You know, we're at our laptops, we're ready to start, you know, filling in the blanks. What's that fundamental thought that we need to be thinking as we just go for it?
I think the key words would be tell a good story.
Okay.
You're a storyteller. So I think as you're writing, you need to figure out how you can weave it in a way that really sparks people's imagination, that demonstrates your creativity, that sets you apart from some of the other persons that might be applying. So I would just say that's the key, is that you're not writing a report, but you really want to tell a good story, and you have to be able to communicate that quickly, concisely, and in a way that everyone can understand.
Well, Nikisha, thank you so much for joining us today on the Music Therapy Roundtable. And for our listeners out there, we're going to be sharing her contact information with you on the website, because you're open to getting contacted.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
But Nikisha Loy-Smith, just thank you so much for being a part and sharing all your knowledge with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me today. You know, music is one of the greatest pleasures in life, so I'm really excited that there's a group of professionals that are dedicated to just, you know, bringing healing through music. So I wish everyone the best of luck in their grant writing. And as you said, if you have any follow-up questions, just feel free to contact me.
Thank you, Nikisha.
Thank you, Nikisha.
So to wrap up, our music therapy pro members have asked us for a grant writing 101 lesson. And Nikisha will be sharing even more of her inside tips with the pro community in another podcast. And this conversation will be made available to you, well, to only our pro community members, over at our companion site, Music Therapy Pro. So please make sure to join Music Therapy Pro at musictherapypro.com so you can get the even more tips so that you have a successful grant. All right, so this month's cool resource of the month is the Mommy Monday series from our very own Kimberly Senna Moore over at her blog, Music Therapy Maven. Kimberly, do you mind telling us about this series?
I would love to. And actually, Michelle, I have you to thank for the idea. So this is a series that I launched about a month ago. And the premise is simple. Just every Monday, I post something related to being a mommy and a working mommy or my kids or something like that. And I say every Monday, and it's most every Monday. There have been a couple Tuesdays thrown in. But such is the nature, you have to be flexible. But Michelle, you inspired me because when you announced your pregnancy on your blog, you talked about, you know, how there are really no pregnant music therapy bloggers. And I didn't even start my blog until I had already had both of my kids. And when I started it, I very purposefully had a more quote unquote professional focus. But, you know, over the years, I've kind of learned, you know, when it comes to my blog, I can kind of do whatever I want. And why not? I mean, there's so many of us who are either pregnant or have young kids or, you know, growing kids or grown kids. You know, music therapists kind of cover the spectrum in that way. And I have to say, the response I've gotten has been really touching, and it's been really amazing. I've gotten tweets and phone calls and emails and Twitter and Facebook messages related to the different posts, you know, I've been sharing. So it's been really exciting. And I think this is something that is resonating with blog readers.
Well, and I'm one of them. I'm one of your resonators, I guess you could say. But I read it every week. And obviously, you know, this is something that's completely personal to me because I'm pregnant and this is my first kid and I have no idea what to expect. And I'm super excited and just all of that. And the thing about the response that you're getting, because there's tons of comments, and I'm enjoying the comments just as much as I'm enjoying your posts. And I'm just really enjoying all of it, and I want other people to know about it. So I just want to thank you for sharing your insight with me. Thanks.
And yeah, everyone. No, it's. I think this is going to keep going for a while. So thank you. Yay.
And thank you both, because you'll already be so experienced by the time it happens to me. So yay for that.
We're going to know everything, and we're going to tell you exactly what to do.
I know. It's going to be great.
So we have a couple of announcements. You know, I feel like this, I don't know, this may be the episode where we kind of, you know, pat ourselves on the back. Michelle's.
I know. It's feeling like a love fest.
It really is.
This is the co-host love.
Yes.
But we are, first of all, kudos go out to Rachel. Her blog, Listen and Learn Music, just turned 4. So that's pretty cool. And you did a post about that where I think you shared your very first post.
I did. Right? Yes. Yes, I did.
Did you cringe when you read it?
You know, I cringe at a lot of my old posts, especially those those first few. They were, you know, I was a new blogger. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't really have any idea if anybody was reading it. So I was just kind of throwing things out there. But, you know, it obviously it worked because I'm still doing it 4 years later. But it's fun to look back and see how far I've come since then.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. Thanks.
And Michelle, too, you have your Boomtote, you know, little business here is rocking and rolling.
It's
right?
Booming. It's booming.
It's booming.
Yes.
So the Boomtote, that's the drawstring close bag that I designed that holds a standard size set of boom whackers, has been redeveloped and redesigned. Now it has a front pocket and the seams are reinforced and the drawstring top has this great plastic clasp so it stays really shut well. And they are on the shelves. I've got a great stockpile. You can find them at boomtote.com. And if you check out the music there between, I talk about all the new features of the Boomtote and you need one. No, I'm kidding. But check it out. The fabrics are way different than before. And it's just exciting that it's, you know, out there. So they're all online and people are buying them. And I actually have a couple reviews coming out from some friends. Well, I shouldn't say friends. I mean, they're going to give me real reviews. But so that's what they say. But they're going to be doing some reviews, and so we all have that to look forward to hear about what other people think, not just me.
And I just want to chime in right here and say that I have one of your new boom totes, and I absolutely love it. And not only is it beautiful and functional and just pretty, but it's so much better than the metal trash can that I was storing my boom whackers in before. So thank you, Michelle. I love it.
No problem. I'm happy to help you with your upgrade.
Yes.
And finally, we have, I can't believe it's next month already, but our National Music Therapy Conference, our AMTA conference, is next month in St. Charles, Illinois, mid-October. And Michelle, Rachel, and I will all be there. And once again, for the second year in a row, we are going to have a music therapy pro booth in the exhibit hall. And we'll also be doing a little get-together. So be looking on various blogs, Twitter, and Facebook streams for an announcement on when that'll happen, but certainly hope that you stop by and say, if nothing else, just stop by and say hi.
And this month's Sunday success story comes from Music Therapy Pro member Elizabeth Sands Buckmaster. Here's what she shared over in the Music Therapy Pro Facebook forum. I started taking piano lessons again. Piano is my major instrument, but I haven't had lessons in 10 years. Finally got my piano in my house, forgot how much I love playing. So kudos to Elizabeth for rediscovering her love for piano, and we invite all of our Music Therapy Pro members to share their successes each week in our private Facebook forum.
Thank you for joining us. To read a transcript of the show, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com, where you will also find links to each of our personal blogs. You can get podcast episodes sent directly to you by subscribing to the Music Therapy Roundtable through iTunes. If you enjoy the podcast, please write an iTunes review. It helps our ranking, which allows us to reach more people like you. So if you have a comment or question, please email us at info@musictherapyroundtable.com. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk again next month.